Greetings, Xenophiles. That was Ever Fallen in Love with Someone You Shouldn't Have, which by the Buzzcocks. And I played it for no reason other than I just love it. And I haven't heard it for a while. So there we go. From 1978, and when I was... I'm not telling you how old I was in 97. A lot younger. on this day in 1933, the first aeroplane flight over Mount Everest happened. And in 1970, Miriam Hargrave passed her driving test. On the 40th attempt. Wow. It's determined. In 1986, the US national debt hit $2 trillion, which sounds like a lot, but now it's $36 trillion. And it's going up by more than $3 trillion per year. And probably after what happened today, it's going to go up a lot further. Let's see what happens. Happy birthday to Eddie Murphy, who's 64 today, Alec Baldwin, who's 67, and Marlon Brando, who should have been 101. But obviously isn't. Something different this week. Omid Gozadlu, back. He was here last time, January last year. 15 months already. And if you had been paying attention on the 18th of January last year, you would have heard this.
Previously on Expat Life.
I think I'm a nice guy, people say. I'm an engineer, I was good at mathematics, and I started studying academic mathematics and computer engineering, and now I finished my PhD here. So I'm a Scorpio, suburb of Tehran. It's a quartz city, they say. Like it was a place with a lot of trees. It was a garden for the king. Yeah, but now, unfortunately, it's becoming a big city. It was a big family. I have three brothers, and I'm the youngest one. Yeah, a lot of fighting, especially they fight. I was okay. Love to learn new thing. Still, I love, and it was so good for me. I'm listening new thing about history, about literature, mathematics. But I had a problem with the morning. Why I have to wake up at 7? This I never understood. Yeah, holidays usually, of course, with family, because we were a big family with a lot of relatives. I have, I don't know, 42-43 cousins.
Wow.
We had ping pong at the yard, so I was playing ping pong most of the time. Iran is a big country with different cultures, different language, and different dialects. Yeah, even you go to south or west, they're talking totally different. They don't talk Farsi. I think I wanted to be a scientist, yeah. Right. I was fascinated by scientists, how they lived life, like Einstein. Yeah, actually, I was making a decision between arts or going to mathematics. Do you think Chaplin is more influential or Einstein? So we went to university. I was in the northeast of Tehran. The university was paid by government. I was a good student, I told you. Yeah. He said, come with us. I went with them to this island, very small island, and we did camping 6 nights.
Right.
No internet, no phone, and it was amazing. Yeah. I think it's very important you face with your fears
right.
when we want to make a decision.
Oh, I see, right.
Yeah, when we want to start doing some things, we have a lot of fears and they don't let us to go. Fear of being something new, you know, you don't know. So that was kind of simulation of going, living abroad,
right.
immigration.
Yeah.
So actually it was 16 days I was alone without my family and friends.
So that was basically a summary of what happened last time. Early life story. We didn't. I could have played the whole show, but then we'd have no time left to speak. So, Omid Kozatlu, now since we last spoke, when you had just finished your PhD, now you got yourself a proper job, right?
Yes.
Tell me what you're doing now and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about AI in general. But first, what's been happening with you in the last year or so?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for the summary of the last one, because I remember, oh my God, but it was nice.
You said a lot.
Yeah, I said a lot. Yeah. So from last year, I started working in an IT company. It's an Italian company. It's one of the big ones. Its headquarters is in Torino, but it has more than 15 countries branches.
Right.
And I'm working in Bucharest, north of Bucharest, as a machine learning AI developer, researcher.
Right.
Yeah. But it's quite different from academic, what I was doing in my PhD. It was much more deep into the customized neural network. But now it's more, in real world, and it's more general.
So now it's practical. Now you're applying all of that stuff that you learned and making things happen from it, not just writing papers that get marks and so.
Exactly.
Smart guy,
Exactly.
But in these last 15 months, AI has taken on, it's exploded. I mean, when we spoke, AI was that, that thing that people were talking about. Then everybody got a ChatGPT account. And ChatGPT is now a generic, it's like Google. Even if you're using Bing, you still Google it, right? It's like Adidas is a generic for Hoover, for vacuum cleaner, and so on and so on. Now you just ChatGPT it, even if you're using a different AI. It's become that generic. And I think you can tell me, because so many people are using it, then it is being trained on so much more data. So it's accelerating on its own. But tell me, what do you think has really triggered the advance in the last, let's say, 18 months? Because it really has started accelerating massively. Do you think there was a particular thing that made it happen?
Actually, I wanted to ask you, do you think what was the significant change in the 15 months? But honestly, I would say it wasn't so much revolutionary like before, because GPT was already released that time. But yeah, now it's more common. Everybody is using, especially it's very generic, ChatGPT, as you said. And yeah, for sure, because it's trained by the data, which the whole Wikipedia is only 3% of the training set.
Oh, okay. Right.
So this guy knows a lot.
Yes.
Everybody likes have this kind of wise guys at home, you know, to ask any question.
So 30 times Wikipedia, all of it. That's okay. It's got big brain, hasn't it?
Big brain, exactly. When I was a kid, I would love to read all the book I can, but I know all the general information, but now with GPTs, I think,
you don't need to any longer.
You don't need, exactly.
I was thinking about this, but you can't remember anybody's telephone number anymore, but you can remember all the fixed landline numbers from your childhood, from everyone, your friends and family, so can I. Because I didn't need to remember phone numbers any longer, because my smartphone remembers them for me. And is it going to get to the point where we'll just forget having to learn anything, because we know we can just ask AI and it'll give us the answer, and it's a throwaway answer, and then we can move on to the next thing? Do you think we will end up being de-skilled as humans?
Yeah, exactly. And I was reading an article about these AIs, these generative AIs make us less thinking critical, We don't think critical.
Right. And we also don't have I think we don't have time. We make excuses, right? We're too busy catching the news and finding out what are the latest political developments and basically doom scrolling on YouTube, because that's important and stuff that keeps us busy. And why to learn things the hard way? As you say, ChatGPT's already learned it for me. Why should I bother?
Yeah.
It's like having a car and then running everywhere. I'll drive it, please.
Maybe we should adapt how to use GPT. We be more creative, maybe.
I totally agree.
Yeah, we are in transition. Mm-hmm.
It's like any tool. You know, you've got to figure out how to use the powers that it gives you. And we're not quite there yet, I think.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, interesting. This thing about parameters, I'm going to ask you this question. I didn't want to get technical, but you keep hearing about these models and how many billions of parameters they've got. What does that mean?
The parameters, it's exactly, or not exactly, but it's very much related to the neurons.
Uh-huh.
So, and I was listening to a podcast, the biologist, and was saying the human brain is not so much different from other animals. The difference is the number of neurons.
Because it's bigger.
It's bigger.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this difference of the number of neurons make it to solve the much more complicated task.
And when you think about, because this confused me or puzzled me or intrigued me for a long time, some of the small, tiny little animals that we have, you know, on the planet seem to be really quite smart with a brain the size of a peanut. And they can, so all the basic functions, let's say, and the basic instinctive reactive skills, in fact, you can see in colors and in three dimensions and all of this, so can an ant, and its brain is tiny. How the hell? So if so much functionality can be stored in such a tiny brain, and then you compare that to the size of ours, wow. That's a lot of extra stuff there. And this is how we can do things like philosophy and art and speak many, many languages and have dreams and build towers and tunnels and airplanes. Yeah, realize that there's a lot of extra brain. So we got a lot of extra neurons. Yeah, but how many have we got compared to, let's say, we've got so many 64 billion parameter models running around now. How many parameters have we got in our brain?
I don't know.
Nobody knows yet.
Yeah, nobody knows. But it also depends how to use efficiently. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm talking about the human, but the AI, when it has X number of the parameters, X number of neurons, mm-hmm. it's using all of them.
Right.
But we're not. Human, we don't know if we're using all of them.
Yeah, as we say, I'm only using 10% of my brain and the other half, I don't know what I'm doing. Correct. You know what? We're going to move on and talk a little bit about, let's say, the sociological aspects of AI. But let's play some music.
Yeah, sure.
Your first piece now, Marabebos.
Marabebos.
Track.
Yeah.
Tell me what and why.
It's an old song. And the meaning means kiss me for the last time.
Ah, okay.
So it's romantic.
Yeah.
Listen.
Nice. Okay, let's have a little bit of this. Sounds like it was recorded on a cassette.
Exactly.
موسیقی گذشته ها گذشته برم به جست جوی سرنوشت
Tell me about Hassan Golnaraghi. Who is this guy?
Hassan Golnaraghi actually is, I think, has only one album.
Right.
Even maybe one single song. Yeah, but it was heated. Yeah,
one hit wonder.
One hit wonder, exactly.
Okay. For reasons of time, I'm going to announce now that if you listen to the podcast version of this, you get to hear all of this song without the compression, so it'll sound a bit cleaner. But for the moment, because of time reasons, as usual, with the new series of Antonia Maria Tanase doing reports about useful apps that you can get on your phone to make your life in Romania a little bit easier. And today we talk about an app called Relive.
Aplicații letale.
If you're an expat here in Bucharest and you love adventures and the outdoors, Relive is just the app for you. Relive connects all hiking, biking and skiing enthusiasts with each other on a platform that's all about showing the world your beautiful experiences in nature. Who doesn't want to just climb a mountain and share the breathtaking view with their friends? In the weekend, of course, since we're too busy working during the week. Don't worry if you don't really know any trails. The app has recommendations. Maybe you can find some that are close to the capital as well. Besides the fact that it's fun, there are also health benefits that go beyond just being physically fit. Listen to those at Alpenwild, the largest North American provider of walking and trekking tours in the Alps. Tell us more about this.
Hiking can stave off the effects of Alzheimer's. And get this, it can even work to reduce or delay cognitive decline. Here's how it works. When you're hiking, you're walking on an uneven surface. With every step you take, your mind is constantly processing and making dozens of decisions every second. Your mind is engaged in ways you don't even fully understand.
As you can see, this is an activity that can really change your life, and you'll feel the effects of it instantly and 20 years from now. So why not give it a try? Relive is free, and you can find it on both Apple Store and Google Play.
Aplicații letale.
Well, I'm convinced.
Good people gather around Radio Gorilla.
And we're back with Omid Gozatlu now. We're going to talk now a little bit about, let's say, AI and its sociological aspects. Maybe some little cautionary tales here, and we'll explore maybe some of the impact and the risks of it. And we'll get a bit more positive after that. We'll talk about other, you know, happier things. But yeah, the impact of AI on human relationships and interactions now, because we think we're... It's a hot topic right now, what with adolescents being on Netflix, right, about social media impacting everyone. But didn't think about AI as on its own impacting human relationships. Where do you think that's going? How is it affecting us?
Yeah, I choose this one because I was listening to a podcast, Persian podcast. The guy was saying I used to write my journal always. I wake up this hour, I did this. And it was like an Excel file.
Right.
After 5, 6, 7 years, it was like 150 megabytes.
Oh, okay.
And too much data, and he couldn't interpret what is going. But he was just writing till GPT came.
Feed it the Excel sheet.
Exactly, feed it. And after that, GPT told him some things, a lot of things, and he didn't know about himself.
Wow. Brilliant.
And he was saying now he is my... I think the most closest friend I have, and GPT understand me better than everyone.
I see what you mean. And then you think, really, because it's so, I won't talk to people any longer. Yeah. It's better than a pet dog.
Exactly. And understand you is smart and it knows everything about you. So,
do you have the same urge that I do, which is to be polite to it? And say please and thank you.
No, I don't.
See, I do.
You do. Yeah.
because it feels sometimes, that's it, it feels like you're talking to, there's a real person on the other end. I mean, the Turing test is like completely blown out the water now, right?
Yeah. My, for example, my friend say, bro, I'm saying this, you know, he's just shouting, then he doesn't understand exactly what he wants. Yeah, it's become like a friend, kind of, they are coming. And I don't know, you can say this is good or bad. We can still have our human relationship with people.
Yeah, but people can be annoying.
Yeah, can't they?
And but you say, you mention also the rise of what they call, let's say, synthetic relationships. And this is where you think, do you imagine that, and it's like some science fiction future that we've all seen, they put these kind of skills into a humanoid-looking robot. There was a movie, wasn't there? Was it called Her?
Her.
Yeah, which I haven't seen, but I know the idea. How far off do you think that is?
I think it's very close, this one. Yeah, yeah, very close. And I see my friends tell me, oh my God, I was talking to GPT in last week, like more than, I don't know, 10 hours, and I told a lot of things, and he was worried, you know? A lot of my friends tell me this.
Yeah, I mean, GPT things I don't tell my own wife. Oops.
Yeah, now it's the privacy is very important. My friend didn't want to show me the chat.
Oh, yeah, but you know what? GPT's got it, right? And he doesn't forget anything. It's up there in the internet, which, as Mark Zuckerberg's girlfriend once said, Mark, the internet's not written in pencil. It's written in ink. You can't erase it.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, that good point. Let's think about this, the privacy aspect. A lot of corporations don't want you using cloud-based AI models because of you feeding it your corporate secrets, right? Do you think it's actually a risk? Because it just, your corporate secrets or your secret assignation that you had with a friend and you didn't want your other friend to find out about, it's in chat, but it's lost in all those X amount of billions of parameters and 30 times Wikipedia. It's not going to come out, is it?
Okay, the data could be like a steal and could be, the secret would be a spoil, you know, this for some people would be very important. They don't want to do that. You mean, I didn't understand the question, sorry.
It's about if people are worried about putting personal or corporate information into these large language models because then it's leaking corporate secrets. But is it really, is there a risk that some your rival could learn something because of a question you asked ChatGPT, and that means they could then learn something about your company? Or is it just the volume of information is so vast that the chances of a leak are small? I don't know.
Yeah, I think exactly. I want to say is not so much concerned about this leak of the data, but it's about you know, the hacking, you know, the data, because you writing ChatGPT this and it could spoil, you know, if you lose your, for example, your phone, your Mac, right, after that they can have your chat. This is I'm telling.
Okay. Yeah. So it's if someone gets your own conversations, then they've got these data, but it's not likely that my conversation is going to. A question I asked it is not going to leak out in an answer to a question that you asked it.
Yeah, because I don't think so.
The information is just so much of it.
So much.
Yeah. Oh. And you mentioned about loneliness and social isolation. This is a following on from the idea that you eventually you find that you have a better friend in the AI model than you have in real life. And rather than cultivate the real friendships, you just withdraw. Are you seeing evidence of this? Have you ever felt it yourself?
This is actually, I was reading the article, it was saying, I can say that you see the modernity games and people are more alone and we have other different issues now, social anxiety and the relationships are much more complicated now. People are more alone because of, I don't know, this individualism, I see. We are more alone and now we have this AI which understand us very good, they don't judge us. So, I mean, it's need, and we go in this direction. Yeah, I was playing chess with GPT.
Playing chess with, wow. Now, that makes perfect sense. Now you've said it, I hadn't thought about it, but, well, why not? It's probably a very good chess player.
Yeah, yeah, it was very weird. I took a photo also, I sent my friend.
And they all went, you sad man. Yeah, although I mean, it reminds me of a friend of mine, Stephen Hall, if you're listening, who used to play chess with people from the other side of the country by post.
Post?
He would start with the board, he'd make the move and write down the move and send it in a letter, which would arrive 3 or 4 days later at the other guy, and the other guy would write his and send it back. So playing a game of chess with someone, you only had to set the board up again or keep it somewhere. And then two moves a week. These games lasted for years.
Yeah.
That is sad.
This is another topic, actually, we want to say. Because of this, we are in the telecommunication era. And everything is much faster.
Yeah.
But I think this is also we are not adapted.
Correct.
You know, maybe we should also a little bit more slow. It is not necessary to do everything fast. And after Correct. That, don't do anything and watch Netflix. So let's keep it, slow.
Yeah, I totally get that. And the urge, especially if you're working for corporations, and I know it, is that you have to go at a million miles an hour and then stop.
Yeah.
Instead of accelerating and maybe slowing down, taking it easy. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And we're talking about ethical considerations right now in AI in social context. Now, what did you mean about AI in social context? Are you thinking that in the middle of a group of friends, one of the friends suddenly turns out to be ChatGPT?
This is also, it's getting in this direction. Yeah, in social context. I remember I was telling my friends, you will trust AI more than me, because if you ask me, how can I go to Yankului?
Right.
And I tell you, go this direction, but you use the Google Map and you say, no, Google Map say that. I don't believe you, even I'm local.
So I'm already a victim of that, because I just follow the blue line in Waze, no matter where it takes me.
Exactly. You know, you see? So they can be also, this in a... Yeah. Society. Yeah.
Interesting. We're going to have to move on because the clock is going too quickly today. Another piece of music, just a little piece of it, and then we'll come back and continue the story because there's still quite a few things to discuss. Now you've got Fared Mehrad with Jome. What is this one all about?
Jome means Friday.
Friday, okay.
Farhad was a singer before revolution, Islamic revolution. He got very famous and he also supported revolution. But it's very funny, after revolution, they didn't allow him to continue singing.
They didn't?
Yeah, unfortunately.
After? Okay.
Yeah. But he's so talented. He's a very good artist.
I like the way he whistles. There's another one that's been, sounds like it was recorded on a wax cylinder 100 years ago. Yeah. Let's listen to this. It's Fared Mehrad and Jome. Friday, in other words, which is tomorrow. Yes!
عکسی از جمعه غمگین میبینم چه سیاه به تنش رخت عزا تو چشاش ابرای سنگین میبینم جمعه ها خون جای بارون می چکه
This reminded me a little bit of the sort of feel of the music soundtrack to a spaghetti western. A little bit sort of Ennio Morricone thing going on here in my head. And again, to hear the whole song, listen to the podcast.
Prin joi înșine, o zi întreagă de muzică românească la Radio Guerilla, venită pe filiera calității Carrefour, produse românești bune și responsabile din 2007. Act for Food. Te bucuri de tot ce e mai bun, asculți tot ce este mai bun.
Cine se bate în clopote când începe un război? Cine se bate în clopote când începe un război? Câte clopote mai sunt pentru tunuri? Câte culi din brânz divin scui pe foc? Alterate în războaie parfumuri în groapa comună, caută loc.
Câte ură în cap în ochii tăi, frate. Câte frică în pul poți să duci. Tatăl nostru are câte carate. Au clanțele toate topite din cruci. Decorată pe piept steaua mare. De faimată se leacă în roșu robin. N-au războaiele în mânici murdare. Uniformele în râuri de sânge străin. Câte strigă de mai tremură în aer. Câte voci se leacă noapte împletite în suspin. Întrebați-o pe tovarășul Caen. Cum poți să trăiești când ești asasin? Ce treceți cu arma înainte, pe pământuri străine căutând. Ministerul războaielor minte de vă-ntoarce acasă în sicrie din zinc. Perforează sirenele în tântă, cu orcreci ciocliți din ghețar. De trei ani februarie îmi cântă odele morții în calendar. Se împiedică, cade și doare, detonează rupte inima însept. Incurabil războiul tu moare. Generații pierdute, roși de cancer în piept. Câte strigă de mai tremură în aer. Câte voci se leacă noapte împletite în suspin. Întrebați-o pe fratele Caen. Cum poți să trăiești când ești asasin? Dacă nu eu, dacă nu eu, dacă nu noi, cine să bată în clopote când începe război? Dacă nu eu, dacă nu eu, dacă nu noi, cine să bată în clopote când începe război? Dacă nu eu, dacă nu eu, dacă nu noi, cine să bată în clopote când începe război? Dacă nu eu, dacă nu eu, dacă nu eu, dacă nu noi, cine să bată în clopote când începe război?
Prin Joi Înșine, o zi întreagă de muzică românească la Radio Guerilla. Venită pe filiera calității Carrefour. Produse românești bune și responsabile din 2007. Act for Food. Te bucuri de tot ce e mai bun, asculți tot ce este mai bun.
Expat Life. Powered by those beautiful people at Radio Guerilla.
And we're back with Omid Gozadlu now. Talking about AI, particularly people might go, oh, AI is going to take my job. What's going to? Well, AI is also creating jobs. For example, yours.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, what? Tell me about how AI has the capacity to change the job market and you know, for the positive, not only just to like steal your job.
No, I don't think it's a stealing job. It's they will change the market, and for the moment they are assistants. Everybody is using AI in the work. I'm using for AI coding, but still cannot take my job. And I think in future with AI increasing and more improved, we will need also human to interpret, you know, the data, the results, or they check the AI generated task, human generated,
because it can hallucinate.
Exactly,
right. It's one thing I've noticed that the guys who programmed the AI models forgot to program in the I don't know part. So it will tie itself in knots to give you an answer and then convince you that it's right. I've done experiments with it where you can make it believe something that's clearly not true, and then it will try to convince me.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, you still need the judgment.
Yeah, but we can say, for example, maybe in future, knowing how to use AI, it would be something essential maybe, no? It's so, like, yeah, before the computer came, and if you don't know how to use computer...
That's true.
Yeah, you can't find
it. And then, and what happened was we kind of all got more familiar with the computers, but also the way computers interacted with us evolved. I mean, we went from typed commands to the things you see now, to Windows and mice, and then now we've got the touchscreens and all of that. And now you've got, with the glasses, the whole 3D immersive. So that interface between us and it gets more and more, let's say, soft and more blurred.
Exactly.
Which is good. We adapt to it and it adapts to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be right. Now, talking about one area where it started to be of concern about they might just be taking your jobs, in radio voiceovers. Listen to this.
Expat Life on Radio Gorilla with guest Omid Gozatlu.
Expat Life on Radio Gorilla with guest Omid Gozatlu.
Expat Life on Radio Gorilla with guest Omid Gozatlu.
Expat Life on Radio Gorilla with guest Omid Gozatlu.
Expat Life on Radio Gorilla with guest Omid Gozatlu.
Expat Life on Radio Gorilla with guest Omid Gozatlu.
You get the idea. Yeah. All of those are AI voices.
And I can say, Steve, they pronounce better than yours.
That's me out of a job.
Life on Radio Gorilla with guest Omid Gozatlu.
There we go. Yeah. So, and I noticed that company, I was telling you earlier about a company that I was using to make voiceovers and jingles. This guy got heavily into AI because he realized that AI was starting to take, people were not paying his company to make voiceovers anymore. Because you can just go 11 labs, they all came out of 11 labs, put the text in, back comes the voice. Yeah, and so he was starting to get worried that he's going to be out of work. But then now there's a backlash. People are going back now to the real voices. Because even though the quality of the AI ones is getting better, there's still something missing. Little bit missing. Having said that, now I'm talking about, we'll move on to AI in the creative fields. Guerrilla was, if you like, blazing a trail. A couple of years ago on this very station, we had a Valley Philip, one of the engineers, created this thing. It was called AI Guerrilla, which was a radio show on this station entirely created with AI.
AI Guerrilla.
AI Guerrilla.
AI Guerrilla. AI Guerrilla.
AI Guerrilla.
AI Guerrilla.
Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to another edition of AI Guerrilla on Radio Guerrilla. I'm Ioana, your host, and today we embark on a thought-provoking journey into the intricacies of cheating. In this segment, we delve into the realm of relationships and the profound impact of dishonesty.
And so what happened was, we said, okay, let's pick a topic to discuss, feed it into ChatGPT or one of those things, and it created the script. So then we copy-pasted the script into 11 labs, and it voiced it.
Breach of trust.
And also the background beds, the music beds, were also made by Coro, whatever, the AI music generator. So the whole show was no actual person involved. Well, apart from just the copy-paste from a thing to another. So, yeah, that can happen. Now, but in the creative fields, we know that we just heard that it can do voices. We know that it can do music. Now it starts to generate images and even videos. And it gets to the point, okay, on the one hand, creative. Where do you think that's going to go? How is that going to help? Let's talk about the positive part first.
Yeah. For sure, for positive. I like this part because I told you, if you remember, I like art, especially cinematography. And in our company, also Replay Company has AI Film Festival. I think increasing the AI Film Festival, how artists are using AI, especially because you have some ideas like dreaming, and you cannot easily to create this video. AI is really here helpful. For example, I think the second winner of the AI Film Festival last year in Reply was about an old woman who was talking memories about the Second World War.
Oh, yes.
They generated her memories from the photos. You can do that, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the fact that it makes these kind of things possible, easy. You have the idea. If you can describe your idea in the right way to these platforms, they can realize your ideas for you. Yeah. And you don't need to get a camera or a person on it. The whole thing, the videos that come out of what was the one that was making the videos? The name of the platform,
Romvi.
Yeah. And there was another one, the first one that really
Luna.
Yeah, Soro. That was the one. Shook everything when those women walking down the street in Tokyo at night in the rain with the neon signs behind. It's like, what? Seriously? It can do that? It was amazing. But then I want to talk about the other side of that, which is, can't believe anything you see anymore.
Oh. Yeah.
So where's that going to go?
Yeah, this is that's why responsible AI, or I don't know, maybe that's why a new job market is coming, distinguished fake generated and also the real one.
This is going to be harder and harder to do, isn't it?
Exactly. And researchers are doing to find a deep fake, which is, this is also a new job. Yeah, but it's getting a little scary. I mean, we need more security. We need more,
We do. Yeah. And so that's job opportunities, you said. Let's look at the positive side. We'll all just be deep fake spotters in the future and we'll get paid good money for it. I'm in. Get paid to watch the telly. Marvelous, yes. You know what? We have to play some music again. It's flying by. And this one was a challenge because we don't have in Guerrilla System this Maria Raducanu song. I thought if any station had it, we would. But we didn't. But it, never mind. Anyway, you wanted this one, Christina, which is clearly her biggest hit. The one she always plays twice when she's playing live, even though she's going, "You want Christina again, don't you?" But this is a version I found a little bit laid back. Listen.
Când te-am cunoscut, Cristina, aveai părul frumos rău și o floare de mărușe de bine în păr. Când te-am cunoscut, Cristina,
the rest of the song. This is, I love this song, but you know what's my favorite by Maria Raducanu? Have you heard Stinge Lampa?
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, find it. It's heartbreakingly beautiful. Amazing. Anyway, word from our sponsors.
Expat Life, made in Bucharest, Romania.
Heard all over the world.
Expat Life.
Next chapter.
The next chapter of AI. That last advert there just made me think about something. AI assisting doctors or remote medicine. What do you think of that?
Yeah. This is very good, actually.
Yeah.
And this was also, I chose AI and also I did my PhD because I think it can help us really for the most greatest challenges humanity is facing. For example, climate changing. And because still we don't know how to solve the climate change.
Ah, you were mapping oceans, waves and waves and things like that, weren't you?
With your, yeah, I was doing this, yeah. So maybe AI can help us a lot in this in these problems. And I would say, of course, in 5 years, it will be a big change, in my opinion. Like general artificial intelligence. And also recently, they have large action models. It's not large language only model, you know.
Oh, okay. What's the difference?
You say and he do. Not just
the agent kind of idea.
Agents, but it will be like a large agent. Now, because now it's orchestrating some agents is still issue. But if we can have a large action models, they just do it when you say, it's kind of, you're going to that humanized robot.
And then you put that in a humanoid looking robot and then, but you need to remember to have the off switch, because then we start talking about, I've got Isaac Asimov's laws of robotics going around in my head right now. You know, we have to make sure that's in there. I know people are terrified. Some people are terrified that what happens when the robots take over and want to keep us as pets? Well, I don't mind. Have you seen how cats get treated? It's fine. But so that this, you think this is going on. But you were working in AI, but what are you doing? And what do you have? Is your, who's your company for a start?
Yeah, my company's Italian company. It started in Trin, I think, like 30 years ago. They started IT now, also they are so motivated to do anything with AI, metaverse, and data synthetic generation for companies like Lavazza. We are doing. They do anything with AI, and and also I think in industry we are abusing so much AI. You know, in the academic it wasn't so much. Here they overestimate it, and you want to just use the AI for anything. You know, even if it's not ready.
It's trendy now.
It's so much trendy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but yeah, anything is doing with AI. But in future also, I wanted to mention this. Maybe we will have also maybe reverse migration back to instead of generating music with AI, which you can do it in 1 minute. Mm-hmm. But maybe we will miss the, you know, go to a concert and listen to violin or any live musician.
Yeah, I think that this is one of the parts. Some of the... the feeling of live music is unique. Okay, having said that, it also felt really good when I saw Kraftwerk. That wasn't live at all, right? but it felt good because everyone, I think it's the everybody in the same place for the same reason, looking at the same thing on the stage, group therapy. If you can believe yourself that it's live music, that's fine. If it's not, who cares? Felt good. Maybe this is the way to do it. We've spoke about ethical considerations and, you know, the deep fake stuff and how we're going to have eyes in the back of our head to make sure that we're not fooled by this.
Yeah, but it's also, this is a very hot topic. It's a responsible AI. Mm-hmm. Any company has to follow rules and do this.
Interesting. I mean, when we last spoke, I was saying that AI, it's a statistical analysis on big data. It feels like so much more than that now.
Yes.
Because it is.
Yeah, you're right. It's much more than,
clearly is. And on that note, I'm afraid we got to go. Imagine, out of time already. Your last piece of music called Once Upon a Time in Iran. Tell me about this.
Kehan Kalhor, it's a well-known artist from Iran. He plays traditional Iranian music. It's a Persian instrument, which is similar to violin, but we say kamanche. Mm-hmm. He's a master of this instrument. And he got many international attention. This was one of the track.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Iran. It sounds like it's going to be quite an epic song. I wish I knew what the lyrics were, but I'm sure I can get them translated. Anyway, thank you very much. Omid Gozatlu now, the king of AI right now, is our AI correspondent for the show. You'll be back to tell us more because it's moving so fast that I think, I don't know, in 3 months we can have a whole other conversation.
Sure.
Let's go. Thank you very much, Omid Gozatlu. This has been Expat Live.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for Uman Rial. Young minds, fresh ideas.
listen again to this and previous shows, find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
New mops, please!
Good night, everybody!
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.